Wednesday, October 22nd, 2025. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope your week is off to a good start, and that you, your family, your friends are all staying strong and healthy right now. And hey, I've got something a little bit different for you this week. I've actually got a few things I need to attend to. But never fear, because I have compiled a few Daily Dose top fives from past episodes. And I'm telling you right now, we are dipping way back into the archives. We are going back to the early days of the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. These are going back to like 2015, 16. Yeah, we're going back a ways. So hey, today on the Dose, I've got some college football flavored Daily Dose top fives I think you're going to enjoy. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some of the best of the Daily Dose Sports Podcast.
Now, as we do every single week, we have our Daily Dose Top 5. We do this every single week, a very popular segment on the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. Our Daily Dose Top 5 this week is most memorable BCS games. You know, the BCS is now gone. We've got the college football playoff. For me, that's good riddance because I didn't really care for the BCS, although for the most part, they only got it wrong two or three times, but it was some big misses. And I just think the situation is better. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a second, but let's get to the Daily Dose top five most memorable BCS games. Number five on our list, the 1999 Fiesta Bowl. And you might remember this. It was the very, very first BCS national championship game we had. Tennessee Volunteers actually beat Florida State Seminoles 23-16, and T. Martin did what Peyton Manning was unable to do during his time at Tennessee, kept finding a way to win, kept finding a way to get past the teams that Peyton hadn't been able to do. He was able to beat Florida for a change, and then he was able to win the big one and win the national championship. Peerless Price in this game, you might remember, had four catches for 199 yards. I mean, it wasn't just that he was beating them. He beat them deep for big plays. He had the one touchdown. Florida State, whatever you do, don't let Peerless get behind you because he continued to do this again and again and again in 1999. Number four on our Daily Dose top five, 2011. And you might remember this, the BCS title game in Arizona. It was Auburn 22, Oregon 19. You know, everyone thought when these two teams came together, you had Cam Newton with Auburn. Everyone thought it was going to be a real high-scoring game. It actually wasn't. It was actually kind of, at times, a little bit of a boring game, a little bit of a defensive game. But if you remember, on the final possession, with the game tied, Auburn is driving. Running back Michael Dyer was tackled, maybe got 5 or 6 yards, didn't look like he was going to get much. He spins, and his knee never touched. He gets up, takes off, gets 37 yards, and Auburn gets in field goal range, kicks a field goal to win it. They reviewed it. Of course, his knee hadn't touched. And Auburn wins the national championship game, and at least for a long time, kept that BCS championship game in the SEC until just last year. So that is our number four, Michael Dyer spinning out, not going down, and getting up, finding a way to get Auburn past Oregon. Our number three most memorable BCS game, the 2003 Fiesta Bowl. Who could forget Ohio State beating Miami in two overtimes? Keep in mind that Miami team was on a 34-game winning streak. They were defending champions from the previous season, and Ohio State was a double-digit underdog. I remember turning that game on and thinking, this probably won't be much of a game, but you know, you just kind of have it on in the background. The Miami Hurricanes turned it over five times. I don't care what happens. You turn over five times, bad things are going to happen. You might remember the Ohio State goal line stand. You had the pass interference that may or may not have been pass interference. Who knows? All as I know is if you turn it over five times, you're taking your chances, and that's what happened to Miami that day. Ohio State beats Miami 31-24 in two overtimes. You know, when you look back at that team for Miami, they were absolutely, absolutely loaded with talent. I don't know how you weren't a better team and how they somehow, I believe that was Craig Krenzel for Ohio State, somehow they found a way to beat this team, but that Miami team was absolutely loaded with talent. I mean, they had so many players. You had, I mean, that was when they had Larry Coker And I mean, they were just, they were loaded. Really, really good team that year. But, you know, found a way to drop the ball against Ohio State. And I know they're still mad about the interference call and then the phantom interference call. And I get it. But you were loaded that year and absolutely should have found a way to win. Our number two game on the most memorable BCS game. What else could you have on this? The 2007 Fiesta Bowl, Boise State 43, Oklahoma 42 in overtime. You know, Boise was undefeated coming into this game, but obviously come from that little conference, huge underdog going against Oklahoma. There's no way they're going to come into a... I mean, there was questions if Boise should have even been in this Fiesta Bowl because they were from the small conference. They hadn't really played anybody that big time. There were questions, should they even be in this game? And if you'll remember, they jumped out to a big lead early. I believe it was like 28-10. And they give that up. And in fact, late threw an interception. And Oklahoma took the lead. Boise came right back down the field. Went, I mean, pulling tricks out of the bag. Went hook and ladder. Went Statue of Liberty on a two-point conversion. You know, when they scored the touchdown to tie it, well, you would think tie it. Kick the extra point, tie it, we go into overtime. They, you know, said, no, we're going to go for this in overtime. Went with the Statue of Liberty handoff behind the back. Running back runs it in. I believe it's Ian Johnson runs it in and then goes and proposes to his girlfriend. If you remember anything from the BCS era, that is one of the bowl games. It wasn't a national championship game, obviously, but that is one of the most memorable games that might be out there in the era of the BCS. The number one most memorable BCS game, I mean, what else could you go with? It was easily the most memorable. It was the national championship game, and that is the 2006 Rose Bowl when Texas came back and beat USC 41-38. You know, Vince Young, I mean, he almost single-handedly beat Leinart and Bush. Keep in mind that Leinart and Bush were the two Heisman Trophy winners. Bush had won the Heisman just prior to this. Of course, that was later vacated. We won't talk about that. Vince Young had 267 yards passing and 200 yards rushing in this game. Brought them back numerous times, kept them in it, and somehow Texas was able to hold on and knock off USC easily. Easily the most memorable BCS game in that BCS era. Now, I know that there has been some complaining about, you know, did the playoff committee get it right? Did they pick the correct teams? I will say this. No matter what teams they picked, and the teams we talked about earlier, Florida State, Oregon, and then Alabama, Ohio State, no matter what games they picked, it's still better than the BCS. Do not forget that. Don't get that part of it twisted, because it is still better than the BCS. Because if nothing else, after these games are done, we get one more game. And keep in mind, if this was the old regime, if this was the old BCS, here is the game that would have been played. We would be playing Florida State versus Alabama, and that would be it. Oregon would have no say in it. Ohio State would have no say in it. And those other teams wouldn't even have been close in a say in it. You know, TCU and Baylor and whoever else, they wouldn't have even been in the conversation. So for all the complaints that I've heard about the playoff committee and, you know, what teams they pick, it's better than the BCS. Do not forget that. Hey, do make sure that you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com each and every week. You can find links to the podcast. You can find links to the video. And yes, you can find links to Daily Dose articles that we put up each and every week. Plus, maybe you need some Daily Dose gear in your life. Maybe you need a t-shirt, a hoodie, a sweatshirt. Stop by over there. You can find links to that as well. And if you'd like to reach out and send an email to the podcast, feel free to hit us up, DailyDoseSports@gmail.com. We would love to hear what you have to say. Now, let's get back to the best of the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. But right now, I want to jump into our first top five list of the day. And our first top five list is the most overrated college football player of all time. Now, it's not that easy to put this together. I'll be honest with you. As I started to do this, I really, really started to struggle because it's hard. There are so many kids that come out of high school that we have rated way, way, way too high. We have the guys that come into college and they never make it. They're never any good. They never turn out. I kind of went with guys that we actually think of now as actually being pretty good. And they might be just a little more overrated than you initially think. And it's also hard to separate some of these players' college careers from what they did in the NFL. Because I can look at a million different players and say, well, yeah, they were good in college, but what happened in the NFL? Well, wrong system, wrong whatever. wrong coaching staff, wrong, you know, just the wrong scheme for them to be in. There's a number of, but I'm talking about when they were in college. They might not have been as good as you think. And every year, the media is jamming someone down our throat. It's usually Notre Dame. But they're jamming someone down our throat, and it ends up not being quite as good. So here are the most overrated college football players of all time. And again, these aren't the guys that were a complete miss. These are the guys that you might think of as being good, as being really, really good. I'm going to tell you why they're not quite as good as you think. And don't get mad at me. I'm just stating facts. Number five on our list of most overrated college football players of all time, USC quarterback Matt Leinart. Now, I know. Leinart's stats look great. He was 37-2 as a starter. Two-time Orange Bowl MVP. He won the Heisman in 2004. For his career, he threw 99 touchdowns. He had 23 interceptions. Now, for one, we think back to other USC quarterbacks that maybe weren't that great. Like Matt Barkley, like Mark Sanchez, like John David Booty, like a little bit of Carson Palmer maybe. Never really quite turned out. But when you think of Matt Leinart, you think of that great run that that USC team had. He had a lot of talent around him too. He had a ton of talent around him. I mean, Reggie Bush and Lendale White in the backfield just standing right next to him for starters. But here's the one thing that I want you to think about. They played no one. They didn't play anyone any of those seasons. The Pac-10 was horrible in those seasons. Do you realize that in his bowl games, USC played a John Navarre Michigan team, a Jason White Oklahoma team, over, I might add, an undefeated Auburn team who we all wanted them to play. We didn't want USC playing that horrible Oklahoma team. We knew that. We knew how that was going to go. We wanted USC to play an undefeated Auburn team that had somehow gone through the SEC undefeated, but then they weren't given anything. This was just a little bit before the times. This was just a little bit before we started realizing how good the SEC was at the time. And we said, oh no, Oklahoma. Well, Oklahoma was good back in the 70s. Let's jam them in there. So we got a Jason White Oklahoma squad instead of Auburn. But here's the thing about Matt Leinart. Matt Leinart, in his biggest game, of his career, faces Vince Young and Texas in the Rose Bowl and loses to Vince Young. Now, here's my challenge to you with losing to Vince Young in Texas. Name another player on that Texas team. Leinart should have won that game single-handedly, and he failed. Here's the other thing. USC, in the years that Leinart was there, played 12 ranked teams total. Plus. I know you're sitting there and you're saying, well, yeah, Matt Leinart, he did okay when he was at USC. Let me just throw this out at you, and this is the clincher. Matt Leinart was in a hot tub with Paris Hilton. You're going to tell me he wasn't overrated? That totally epitomizes being overrated. Matt Leinart in a hot tub with Paris Hilton. Ugh. Can't have that. That is our number five entry on most overrated college football player of all time. Let's move forward to number four. And I know I'm going to get some people angry when I put this guy's name out there. Because when you think of him, he's the little guy that could. He's the little guy that got it done. Doug Flutie at Boston College. We all remember the Hail Mary versus Miami. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not a Miami fan. I love him for that. I love him for beating Miami the way that he did on that last second play. But let's be honest, he wasn't that great. In his career at Boston College, and he basically started and played all four seasons, 70 touchdowns, 56 interceptions? Are you kidding me? 56 interceptions. He averaged less than 3,000 yards per season. He wins the Heisman in 84, basically on that one play against Miami. Boston College went 32-14 under Flutie in 84. When Flutie wins the Heisman, they were 10-2. He had 30 touchdowns. He had 13 interceptions. He threw for about 3,600 yards. The guy who finished third, and on this season, I believe Boston College finished like 11th on the season. The guy who finished third place had 33 touchdowns, only 11 interceptions, 3,900 yards. Oh, and his team won the national championship, and that was Robbie Bosco with BYU. BYU won the national championship, but somehow because of that play against Miami, we've just kind of catapulted Doug Flutie up into one of the greatest quarterbacks and one of the greatest college football players of all time. He's good. Well, he wasn't great.
Number three on our list, most overrated college football players of all time. You knew a Notre Dame guy was going to get on here. It's not a matter of if a Notre Dame, it's just who. Because I had so many to choose from. Ron Paulus, Brady Quinn. But I went with Rick Meyer at Notre Dame. You know, he got a ton of credit for a few different reasons. For one, he was a quarterback. Two, he was at Notre Dame. Three, he was white. Meyer was 29-7-1 as a starter. Solid, not great. But he had so much help. I want you to think of the players that were at Notre Dame when he was a starting quarterback there. Ricky Waters, Dorsey Levens, Jerome Bettis, Rocket Ismail, Reggie Brooks, Tony Brooks, Derek Brown. He was loaded on offense. He had everybody around him. For his career, Rick Meyer, 41 touchdowns and 23 interceptions. He's probably a better runner than he was a passer. And somehow, and again, I tried to separate their NFL career. Somehow, Rick Meyer had 12 seasons in the NFL, despite being a pretty bad passer. If you want to go back to that Orange Bowl that Notre Dame played versus Colorado when Colorado ekes out a victory like 10-9, you know, they called back the punt on Rocket Ismail and all that. Look at how inaccurate Rick Meyer was. He consistently threw the ball to the wrong jersey all night. Despite being a poor passer, somehow Rick Meyer played 12 seasons in the NFL. For his career in the NFL, 50 touchdowns, 76 interceptions. And again, I go back to the reason that he was in the NFL so long. He was a quarterback, went to Notre Dame. He was white. Number two on our list, most overrated. This guy, wow. Number two, quarterback again, Miami, Gino Toretta. You know, Toretta won the Heisman in 1992. He beat out Marshall Faulk and Garrison Hurst. And when you look at the numbers, Toretta was 23-1 as a starter. He must have been good, right? He had 47 touchdowns. He had 24 interceptions. But, you know, Miami wasn't really playing a lot of talent. They were an independent school up until 91. They didn't play in a conference. And then when they joined a conference, they played in the Big East or the Big East. So they were playing, you know, the monsters like Syracuse and Pitt and Virginia Tech and West Virginia. Sorry, Big Rob, had to throw in West Virginia. Rutgers and yes, Temple. They were playing Temple every single year. But again, when you look at the talent that Gino Toretta had around him, Horace Copeland and Lamar Thomas and Kevin Williams, and that defense was absolutely loaded. Ryan McNeil, Michael Barrow, Darren Smith, Jesse Armstead. I mean, I don't want to exaggerate this. I don't want to oversimplify it, but I feel like I probably could have played quarterback for that Miami team and been pretty good. Gino Toretta, pretty overrated. Won the Heisman. When you're doing like one of those Heisman quizzes and you can't come up with an answer, just throw in Gino Toretta because you probably forgot that he won one. Number one on our most overrated, and I can already hear people are going to be mad about this one. You're not going to like this one. Number one most overrated college football player. Now, it's not his fault. And I'm not, none of these players on the list do I like dislike necessarily. I don't particularly care. This one, the situation being what it was, you're in rarefied air and you don't really deserve to be there. All right. I'm just going to throw it out there. Number one, most overrated college football player ever. Ohio State running back Archie Griffin. He's the only player to win two Heismans. He won it back to back in 74 and 75. And we kind of have an unwritten rule that you have to be complete. I mean, he's the only guy to do it. You have to be like out of your mind, insanely good to win two Heismans. There will be guys that were like, no, they should win their second Heisman. And we'll say, no, they can't. You can't win two Heismans. And it's basically because of Archie Griffin. Because when he won his second one, everyone kind of went, really? Really? He's got to be the greatest player in like college football history, right? He won two Heismans? Not really. He was really, really good in 1974. He was really good. He ran for 1,695 yards and had 12 touchdowns. Pretty good. He had almost a 7 yard average, 6.6 yards per carry. And Ohio State lost, you know, in their bowl game, they lose in the Rose Bowl to USC. They go 10-2. It's a nice season. So the next year, Ohio State goes undefeated all the way through the regular season. And as a result, everyone's like, well, they hand the ball off every play. Like Archie Griffin gets the ball on every single play. Who else can we vote for? They're undefeated. We know he won it last year,
but they're undefeated and he's getting all these carries again. I guess we kind of got to vote for him again, but his numbers really weren't as good. He still had 1,400 yards. He had five touchdowns. And then Ohio State gets to the Rose Bowl again and they lose to UCLA 23-10 in the Rose Bowl. And UCLA quarterback John Ciara wins the MVP. Oklahoma wins the championship. And really, when you look at the stats and everything, again, Ohio State's defense just absolutely carried them. They allowed 8 points a game during Griffin's career there. You didn't have to really do anything if you're only giving up 8 points a game. You just had to score 9 points a game. Archie Griffin is the most overrated college football player of all time. I'm sorry to break that to you, especially if you're a Big Ten honk, especially if you're an Ohio State fan. I apologize. I'm not mad at you. I'm just stating what's true out there. As we do every single week, we have to get to our Daily Dose top five. And, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about, you know, the crazy finish that went on up at Michigan State as Michigan State found a way to beat Michigan on the very, very last play of the game, on a crazy final play of the game. And so today, we give you our Daily Dose top five college football finishes. These are easily, you can go find these on YouTube, really, really easy to find. You might want to go check these out because some of them are absolutely insane. Number five on our list this week has to be the Bluegrass Miracle in 2002. You know, in this game, Kentucky, for one, Kentucky, you know, in football never really wins, but Kentucky had pulled the upset. They had beaten LSU. This game was over. They had kicked a field goal to take the lead 30-27. And there were only 11 seconds left. They had kicked off and the LSU player had run out to like the 10. He threw one more quick play, a quick pass out to the LSU 26. You're at the 26 yard line. There's no way you can throw it far enough to score the touchdown. So all that Kentucky has to do, keep everything in front of you. Don't fall for any lateral garbage. Stay in your lanes and it's going to be over. In fact, Wildcat players had already dumped the Gatorade on head coach Guy Morris. LSU ball at their own 26. Marcus Randall, quarterback for LSU, throws it as far as he can. And I mean, he just chucks it. And it gets to maybe the 20, 30, something like that. But instead of just knocking the ball down, anytime on a Hail Mary thing like this, you just slap the ball to the ground. Get it to the ground as quickly as you can. Don't try to catch it. Don't try to tip it. Don't try to poke it. Well, Kentucky tried to intercept it. And it hits one kid right in the chest and pops straight up. And wide receiver Devery Henderson catches it on a dead run and scores. Let me tell you how over this game was. They had dumped the Gatorade on the coach. Fans were already running out onto the field and were tearing down the goalpost. Except that you lost. And game is now over. 34-30. LSU finds a way to win. The Bluegrass Miracle is number five on our list. Number four on our list of college football finishes has to be the Miracle Michigan. 1994, Colorado had gone to Michigan and they were down 26-21 with just 6 seconds left from their own 36. Kind of the same situation where you sat there and you said, they're at their own 36. It's just too far. You can't get the ball that far. People didn't realize the kind of arm that Cordell Stewart had. Cordell Stewart launched a pass that they figured was close to 80 yards in the air from where he threw it to where it landed. Pass was tipped up in the air by a backup receiver, Blake Anderson, and Michael Westbrook, CU wide receiver, pulls it down in the end zone to beat the Michigan Wolverines in the Big House. Colorado 27, Michigan 26. The thing that still stands out to me, and I've watched this replay a number of times, when you just look at how far Cordell Stewart threw this ball, I mean, this is Brett Favre, Randall Cunningham-esque. He launches this ball. He had a little bit of time. He rolls out a little bit and gets his feet good and set and winds up for this thing. But he threw that ball a long, long ways. Number three on our list of college football finishes has to be the Hail Flutie. 1984, Boston College goes to Miami, to the to face the defending champion, Miami Hurricanes. Again, I don't know what it is about 6 seconds left, but there were 6 seconds left in this game as well. Miami is up 45-40. Great game, back and forth game. Both teams were putting up points. Very, very entertaining game. Ball is at the Miami 48. Doug Flutie chucks the pass down to the end zone. And somehow it was kind of weird because it like went right through everybody's hands and landed in Gerard Phelan's hands at the back of the end zone. Just kind of went through everybody. It kind of got behind everybody. I don't know if it surprised them that they threw it that far or if they just weren't ready for it or what the situation was, but it kind of gets through the wide receiver. Boston College wins 47-40, and Flutie went on that same year in 84 to win the Heisman. I don't even know if he deserved it, but he won it primarily because of that clip of him throwing the Hail Mary and winning the play on the last play of the game. Number two. And when I say this play, you're going to say, how is this not number one? This has to be number one. I'm going to tell you why it's not number one. Number two on our list is the play. Stanford versus Cal, 1982. Why is it not number one? I'll tell you why it's not number one. Because it's an illegal play. If you go back and watch it, you'll see it for yourself. John Elway had actually led Stanford to take the lead 20-19. There were 4 seconds left. On the kickoff, Cal laterals 5 times, except for that one of them may have been a forward lateral, and the other one, the kid is tackled and on the ground. I think the refs kind of just got caught up in the play, even though he was down and kind of threw it from his knees. They just kind of let the play continue. Of course, this one is memorable because the Stanford band was celebrating and coming out on the field, and the last pitch and lateral, and the kid that ran into the end zone actually had to run through the Stanford band to get into the end zone. Cal ran it back and smashed into a trombone player in the process. The play comes in at number two on our list. Number one. What could number one be? It's pretty recent. Number one on our list, top five college football finishes, has to be kick six. 2013, Auburn versus Alabama. So much on the line for both of these teams. Plus, it's kind of funny to, laugh at Nick Saban. Nick Saban tried to have his kicker kick a 57-yard field goal with a score tied at 28. The funny thing about it was his kickers had been horrible all day. They had no shot at making this field goal. No idea what Nick Saban was thinking, but he was like, hey, we're going to have him boot this thing from 60 yards, piece of cake. Auburn put their cornerback, Chris Davis, back just in case the ball fell short. The ball wasn't that short. It hit Chris Davis right at the back of the end zone, and he brings it out, and he starts running, and he kind of finds some space, and he heads down the sideline. The problem was that Alabama hadn't put in any kind of speed. They had put in, their big guys, their big package, to block for the kick, and their big guys couldn't get over and catch Chris Davis. Chris Davis returns it from the back of the end zone, like 109, 110 yards all the way down the sideline for the touchdown to end the game. Final score, Auburn 34, Alabama 28. There is our list, our Daily Dose top five college football finishes. You never know. Just like we saw this last week, you might see a game end on the last play in a way that you thought was absolutely impossible. Little lesson. Don't go away from the game. You might want to keep an eye on these college football games because you don't know how they're going to end. Hey, next week on The Dose, I'm actually going to have a very special holiday edition of The Daily Dose. Trust me, it is something you will not want to miss. So make sure you stop by The Dose and make sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out the new things we have going on over there every week. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, and for sharing the articles with something you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.